Good morning. Can we all stand? It's good to see everyone here this morning. Why don't you wave at somebody around you? Tell them it's good to see them this morning.
We are here for you. We set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do, 'cause we need a move. We need a move.
miracle worker, waymaker, miracle worker, waymaker, miracle worker, waymaker, miracle worker.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, he's working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
Celebration of being back in God's house this morning. Hallelujah, Lord. It is great to see everybody here this morning. You may be seated. I don't know that I consider myself to be an emotional person, but when I came into the house of God this morning, my emotions just began to hit me, and I got a little teary-eyed. And it's not because I was sad or anything like that, but as we worked through the service, those emotions changed to just pure excitement, where I'm just excited and happy to be back in the house of God. And it's so great to see each and every one of you here this morning. For those of you that may not know me, my name is Mike, and I'm the Life Group Coordinator here at TPC, and I'm here to bring you a few announcements. But before I do that, y'all know what my wife said to me this week? Y'all know what she told me? She said, I don't know if you're going to be able to fit in your church clothes because of this COVID diet that you've been on. I said, well, we're going to see. So I started pulling out my dress shirts and trying them on, and they all fit except for one. I only had one that didn't work out in my favor, but man, it is so great, again, to be back here on a Sunday morning to be worshiping with all of you. We are so excited to be here. For our announcements, our first announcement is next Sunday morning, both services will be streaming. And by the way, those of you that are watching online, welcome this morning. We're so glad that you're a part of the service as well. But again, next Sunday morning, the 9 a.m. and the 11 a.m. will both be streamed. And there are going to be two different services. The 9 a.m. is going to be the regular service, and the 11 a.m. is going to be our service where we honor our graduates. So make sure that you give them a congratulations, because they didn't get a traditional graduation this year by any means, but we're still going to come together and we're going to honor them during that time. And just so you know, between services, this happened this morning, it's going to happen next week, and as long as we have to do this, we are sanitizing everything. We're wiping everything down. We have teams working on that in between every Sunday morning service. Now for our next announcement, TPC Kids Sunday School, Wednesday Night Kids Church, and Life Group Lessons. All of these are still found online, so all of that's still going on online. You can find those on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. And I'll put in a little plug for life groups here, because I'm the life group coordinator. Life groups have been awesome. If you've been doing them online, they have been phenomenal. I mean, it's just me and my wife doing them together in our house, and we can go for an hour on a life group lesson. And so, man, it's been some great content. It's some stuff that's relevant to what we're going through, so I encourage you to dig into that. And we've told y'all, like, this isn't the reason we do life groups, but we've made mention of this. There may be a time where we can't come together and worship in church, and y'all may have thought we were crazy. Y'all may have looked at us funny. Well, here you go. Now you know this is one of the reasons. That way you know how to have church in your home, how to grow in the Word of God, how to pursue God in isolation, which is what we're talking about this month. For our next announcement, Alliance Youth Service. Tomorrow night, they're going to be having service at 7 p.m. in person. So I know they're excited about that. They're ready to get back to it. So that's going to be over in the gym again tomorrow night, 7 p.m. in person. If our ushers would go ahead and come forward at this time. And I tell you what, as they're coming forward, why don't we all stand? We're going to do offering a little bit different today. Our ushers are going to place baskets here in the front. And what we're going to do, we're going to come up by section and drop our offerings in the basket. And the way we're going to do this is section A, section B, C, D, and E. And so A and E, they're going to come up first and drop their money in. And then once they're done, B and D will come up. And then once they're done, C and the balcony can come down and put their offerings in. Again, it's going to be A and E first, and then B and D, and then C and the balcony. And if you're still not, and the reason we're doing that so you can maintain social distancing, we're not all congregating together up front. And if you still would rather not come up front and drop your offering in, we have boxes by the doors. And so after service, you can drop those in there on your way out. So why don't A and E go ahead and come forward as our musicians begin to sing.
Yeah. To preach to empty pews, and it sure feels good to see all of your smiling faces this morning. Great to have you here. If you have your Bibles, would you go to the book, the Gospel according to St. John? And we're going to go to St. John chapter 15. And while you are preparing to get there, I want to give you a little bit of humor. A group of tourists visited a crocodile farm and was on a floating surface in the middle of the pool with many a huge alligator. And the owner of the crocodile farm threw out a challenge. He said, "Listen, whoever dares to jump in and swim across and makes it to the other side and you survive, I'll give you $1,000. Silence was deafening. No one moved. And all of a sudden, a man jumped in. Boy, he started swimming for his life, and with a lot of luck, he made it to the other side, and he got out. And so the owner, he announced the winner, and he gave the man $1,000, and he and his wife went to the hotel room after that. And he said, "You know what?" He said, "I didn't jump in there. Somebody pushed me." She said, "I know I did." So the moral of that is, behind every great man, there's a woman who pushes him. Let's go to John chapter 15, and we're going to look at verse 1 and 2. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." Now I want you to look at verse 5. "I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Would you all say that with me? "For without me you can do nothing." Now look at verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." Amen. God bless you. Thank you. And you can be seated. There was a man, and he was having a conversation with God. And he said, "God, I really don't understand you." He said, "I don't know why you didn't make me out of gold." He said, "Because gold is so beautiful, it's so valuable. Why didn't you make me out of gold? And if you wasn't going to make me out of gold, then why didn't you at least make me out of silver? Because silver is shiny and silver is attractive. But why did you make me out of dirt?" And God responded, and he said, "I made you out of dirt because only dirt can produce a harvest. Only dirt can produce a harvest." And my sweet brothers and sisters that are here, and those of you that are joining us online, I just want to say, I believe with all of my heart that God created every one of us to have an abundance, to live in an abundance, and to have a harvest in our lives that absolutely is shocking even to us. I believe that God was taking this very parable, and here's what you may know or here's what you may not know. But in Matthew chapter 15, as it's playing out, Jesus is literally hours from the crucifixion. Okay? Now, it's four chapters later that you actually read that in chapter 19. But at this particular point in time, Jesus is just hours from the crucifixion. And just hours from the crucifixion, he brings his disciples alongside him, and he starts talking about this: "I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, and you are the branches." And he's talking about fruit and abiding in him. And this is what you got to understand. The disciples' minds were nowhere near where Jesus' mind was. They were thinking about, "Let's overthrow Rome. Let's talk about getting recruits. Let's talk about how many swords that we need." and you're going to give us this little Sunday school lesson on soil. It didn't really make sense to them. Why is he giving us this lesson on soil when he needs to be talking about swords? But what God wanted to do is God wanted them to understand that it's all about relationship. And they had their perspective of the way things should go, and God had his perspective of what he wanted. And I'm sure they're just standing there, and they're fairly confused, and they probably even frustrated, because the disciples don't want to hear about soil. They don't want to hear about vines and branches and, you know, fruit. So why is God doing this? Well, Jesus was taking this precious time before his death to show them a new way of looking at things. Okay? Jesus wanted his disciples to see their future from a perspective of heaven. They were having an earthly perspective, and God was saying, listen, it's really not about what you think. And he did not want to leave them up on the earth wondering what God was up to in their life. He didn't want to leave them wondering, why isn't things turning out the way that we think things ought to turn out? Why isn't it happening the way I think that it ought to happen? And for these disciples, this little Sunday school lesson on soil and vine and branches and abiding in him didn't even make sense. And I think that even as Christians, sometimes God's word and heaven's perspective and the way God sees things and the way that we see things doesn't even really make sense if we don't get God's perspective. See, Jesus was basically telling the disciples, I want your life to produce a harvest. But the harvest that God had for the disciples was much different than the harvest that they had in mind. So he wants to start teaching about relationships. And Jesus says, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And you are the branches. And you say, Pastor, why is this important to me? Because life makes sense when you get God's perspective. Some things that wouldn't make sense to you starts making sense because God is preparing his disciples to understand that really life is a whole lot like a garden and a vineyard when you look at it from heaven's point of view. Now, let me see your hands this morning. How many of you are growing a garden right now? Okay, good. How many of you have ever grown a garden? All right? So then you understand that a garden takes time. It doesn't just happen. And see, what Jesus is saying here is that he is comparing our relationship to him like a vineyard, like a garden. And the task of God is to get the highest yield possible from every branch in your life. See, the branches are the focus of God's efforts because they produce the fruit. And he lovingly cultivates every branch so that it's going to bear as much fruit as possible. If you look at Psalm chapter 1 and verse 3, here's what the word of God says. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Notice this, that bring forth its in its season. Now, regardless of what somebody may tell you, there's no garden and there's no vineyard that produces year round. There's seasons. And I'm going to explain something in just a minute, but there's seasons that it produces, and then there's seasons that gardener goes in there and cultivates. But here's the way God looks at you. He looks at you from heaven's perspective. He wants you to be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of living water, that bring forth fruit in its season, that its leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever it doeth shall prosper. Don't believe the lie that God wants you to go down. Don't believe the lie that God wants you to have nothing. God wants you to prosper. God wants to lift you up. God wants your tree to bear forth much fruit. And if you don't get heaven's perspective, you're gonna kind of wonder, what is God doing in my life? In fact, if you look at John 15 and verse 8, this is what the scripture says. John 15 and 8 says that the Father may be glorified. When is he glorified? When you bear forth much fruit. See, you would think that God's plan would just, you know, automatically happen in your life. But I'm here to tell you that nothing could be further from the truth. All of you that have grown a garden, that lawnmower didn't crank itself, or that tractor didn't crank itself and say, you know what, today's a good day, I'm going to go out and till that land for them. Your tiller didn't crank itself and go out there and work those rows. You know, somebody didn't magically appear and plant the seed, or you know, those there's trellises in a garden that those vines can grow up on, right? That didn't just happen without work. It doesn't just happen automatically. And if you want this type of life, if you want a harvest, and I'm pointing to a basket that has a lot of fruit in it, if this is the kind of life that you want, it doesn't happen automatically. You got to allow God to come into your life and get an understanding that God wants you to have a harvest that is even beyond your dreams. But that doesn't just happen. For the vineyard to really produce, every branch has to respond to the attention of the one who created it. You say, Pastor, why is that important to me? Because God tends to our lives so we can keep moving up. Because every branch on your life, God doesn't want it to be barren. He wants your branches to produce fruit. And we all know that a planted a garden or a vineyard that, you know, it doesn't produce year around. So what happens when it's not producing is that vine dresser or that person that is caring about that garden comes in and lovingly tends to every unhealthy branch. And for me, I'm going to just be transparent with you this morning. COVID-19 has given God a season to come in and say, Wayne, it's not bad, but it could be better. Now, I know COVID-19 means a lot of things to a lot of people, and people have asked me questions, what does this mean? And I understand that, but I'm just talking about for me, COVID-19, the last 8 weeks, God has come into my life and said, Wayne, I love you enough that I want to prune some things in your life. I'm not saying it was bad. I'm not saying that I was this big sinner. That's not what I'm talking about. But what he wants from me and what he wants for you is a basket of abundance. Can I get a witness? And I started looking, y'all. I went on YouTube and I started looking at people that were pruning their garden or pruning a vineyard or rose bushes. And I found several of them that I really liked, but they were just too long. And it would take too long to get, you know, the picture. But I would encourage you, maybe go watch a video of, I wish I could tell you this guy's name, but he goes in there with these shears on these roses, and man, he just starts cutting. And you're thinking, oh my goodness, it looks like he's really destroying it. Because they had roses on it and it looked nice. But what he said was, he said, I want you to understand that what I'm doing is really healthy. Because there's so much green leaves that are not producing, it's keeping the sunlight from getting into the base of the vine. And that vine needs that sunlight so that it can grow even healthier and produce even more. And while it looks like I'm almost destroying it, I'm really not destroying it at all. I'm really cutting it back so it can produce even more. Anyone that cares about roses, pruning it makes it healthier and it brings about new growth. And I want to give you an example of pruning. Here's an example. God gave Joseph a dream, but Joseph's dream, his interpretation of it was way too small. He was thinking, here's in my mind, he was thinking that in 2 weeks, my brothers are going to bow down to me. I'm the favored son, and I saw them bowing down, and in 2 weeks, they're probably going to be bowing down to me. But God was thinking, brothers and sisters, that a whole nation would bow down before him, but it was going to take years in the making. See, God's dream was way too big to mature in 2 weeks. I want to preach to somebody right now. The dream that God has given you is way too big to mature in 2 weeks. I'm sorry, you don't plant an orange seed and 2 weeks later reap this. It takes years to reap this. Again, I'm not a great gardener, but I know this. It normally takes maybe sometimes 3 up to 5 years for an orange tree to really start producing good fruit. And God gives us a dream, and guess what we do? In our own flesh and human effort, we try to start making it come to pass. And God said, no, the dream that I've given you is way too big for it to happen in a month's time. I want you to live a life of abundance. And you're just thinking, hey, this is just going to happen. And God is saying, no, it's not. And here's what God was doing. For the next 13 years, God was pruning some things out of Joseph's life. What was he pruning, Pastor? Probably some anger that he was bitter over his brothers, angry for them selling him. Resentful. I mean, you know, it's easy for us to say that's no big deal, but if you were Joseph, it'd be a big deal if your brothers threw you in a pit, sold you for 20 pieces of silver, said hasta la vista. Yes, it would be a big deal. And I'm telling you, you've had less done to you than that, and some of us are still bitter over some things that happened to us. And God had a dream that he was giving Joseph, and the dream was bigger than his interpretation. And so for the next 13 years, he was pruning things from his life so this could be his life instead of this. All the while, you know what he was doing? All the while, here's what God was doing. He was pruning resentment and things from his life, and he was nurturing love, forgiveness, patience, self-control, kindness, humility, leadership, and wisdom. Now, let me give you another example real quickly. The disciples themselves, they're talking to Jesus hours before his crucifixion, and they've got a dream too. But their dream was to be the hero of every little Jewish boy. They wanted to be a poster upon every little Jewish boy's house and in his room that they were the heroes that overthrew Roman rule with King Jesus. That was their dream. That was what they thought this was all about. But God's dream for his disciples were way more than throwing over the Romans. His dream for them was, boys, if you stay faithful here and you get this, I'm going to inscribe your name on the 12 stones of the new city, the new Jerusalem. And you're going to be rulers over an eternal kingdom, not just an earthly kingdom. And of this kingdom, see, because the Roman rule's over, it's been long over, but this eternal kingdom, there's never going to be an end. And if you don't get heaven's perspective, you're going to think that it's all about now, and why is God doing what he's doing in my life right now, when it's really about an eternal perspective that God wants you to get a hold of. God was looking to save a nation. God was looking to save a nation, and Joseph just thought his brothers were going to bow down. But God needed a nation saved so the seed of the Messiah could come through that nation to bring about redemption for all mankind. And the disciples thought it's about a sword and throwing Romans over rule. But God was saying, no, I'm going to raise you up as kings and priests, and you're going to rule and reign the nations of the world. This is bigger than what you think it is. Am I preaching to somebody this morning? See, God sees you as more than just someone who is raising kids and working a job and running a plant and engineering and building buildings. All of those things are great. God created us with magnificent minds. We are created to produce and engineer and build and design, and that is so wonderful. But God also gave us a spirit. So from the soil of our spirit is where we produce greatness. See, God wants greatness in your life. Say, God wants greatness in my life. Say it. Those of you listening, say it. Say, God wants greatness in my life. Yes, He does. God wants an abundance in your life. But He wants your greatness and your abundance to be more than a weekly paycheck. He wants us to produce an abundance of eternal value. So what I'm fixing to say is going to sting a little bit. Are you ready? You say, so Pastor, my life maybe looks more like this, an empty basket than a full basket. What's the problem? The problem is normally sin and self. If it's not sin, normally it's self. I want you to think of your mind now. Think of your mind. Your mind, God gave it to you as a creator of beautiful things. I want you to think of your spirit man, as a garden or a vineyard. Based on John 15, let me ask you this question. What do you think God is more interested in? You taking your mind and creating beautiful things, or you taking your spirit and bearing fruit? You know the answer. See, our minds tell us that beauty is where it's at. So here's what we do. We like beautiful women, and we like beautiful cars. And women like beautiful homes. We like beautiful art, and we like beautiful things. Because beauty appeals to us, and we like creating beautiful things. And yet when all the beautiful things doesn't bring fulfillment and satisfaction, then we think, where is it at? And we just try to work harder. When God says, listen, without me you can do nothing, I'm going to preach right now. Yeah, maybe you can get up in the morning and tie your shoe without God. Maybe you can do that. But you can't, and I can't, and nobody can do anything of lasting eternal value without Him. Yeah. That's why He says, you got to abide in me. And if you abide in me and I abide in you, then we can do something of eternal value. But if you're trying to do this on your own, you're not getting heaven's perspective. It's not about you showcasing your talents and your gifts and all of this and all of that. All of that's fine, but God is saying, without me, you can do nothing. See, we Christians, we're even bad about this. We measure our life by the things we have. And God measures our life by the fruit that we bear. Come on now. We measure the wrong things. We measure our comforts. And God is measuring our character. Because you're not going to take any of your comforts with you. I like being comfortable too, but I'm not taking any of that to heaven. We're taking our character with us. Why? Because He's got an eternal value. You're going to do more than get to heaven and have two little wings and play a harp. You're going to have purpose in heaven, because God doesn't create anything without purpose. But He's getting you prepared now for what you're going to do then. And we don't get heaven's perspective. We think it's all about now. And most of us live barren lives because we don't get the principles of the vineyard. We measure who we are by what we have. And God measures us by who we are and who we are becoming and the growth that we are allowing Him to bring into our life. See, outward fruit appears when your motive is to bring glory to God. And I believe COVID-19 has been God, the vine dresser, coming into my life and saying, Wayne, there's some things that I need to prune. Not saying they were necessarily bad, but could be better. You know, for those of you that have created a garden or you planted a vineyard, you know what? If you invest all of that time to till the soil, plant the seed, you know, build the little trusses so the vines can grow, water it, hours upon hours that you invest in that, I can promise you this. You're not coming in with the weed whacker one day when it's all bearing fruit and you just start going through it with a weed eater. You would never do that, right? All of that time and investment, why would you ever do that? And yet here's what the enemy thinks. Enemy wants to make you think that God is cruel. And that when he's pruning in our life, that he's being cruel. No, he's not. He's actually doing a very loving thing. This is what he wants your life to look like. Oh, y'all got quiet on me there. See, fruit is your only deposit in heaven. That's it. Your character is the only thing you're going to take with you. So why do good-hearted Christians get stuck for years in turmoil and pain and want? Because they don't understand the principles of the vineyard. Why do good people live barren lives much of their life? Because they don't understand God's principles of abundance. Why do most people live with so little for so long? It's because we really don't get a revelation of God's perspective. We don't understand what heaven values. Heaven doesn't just value the green leaves. Heaven values the fruit. We don't get that sin is like dirt covering up our branches. Now, dirt is good for growing the vine, but dirt is not good on the leaves. Dirt can actually stop growth. The mud can stop growth. So what does the vine dresser do? What does the Heavenly Father do? When he sees that vine or that branch in the dirt, he lovingly comes and he lifts it out of the dirt, brushes it off and cleans it. Why? Because he's got one thing in mind. He wants a harvest for your life. You say, so how does a loving God move our branch from barren to beautiful? Here's the answer. Are you ready? Here it is. Many times God uses painful experiences so it gets our attention. What that gentleman did with those shears looked like he was treating that rose bush with brutality, but he actually wasn't. He was preparing it to come back prettier and more productive than ever. Again, I know that COVID-19 has done a lot, but I'm going to tell you what this season has done for me. This season has allowed me to slow down long enough for God to come in and begin to show me some things that he wants to prune in my life. And you think, why would a loving God allow pain in my life? Because a loving God loves you so much that he wants to get your attention. Because this is what he wants your life to look like. I am convinced, brothers and sisters, that God wants you to produce an incredible harvest. And so he's not here to hurt you. He is here to help you. But how do you describe to a toddler who is very sick that, listen, I'm going to take you to a doctor, and this doctor is going to inject a 2-inch needle in you full of penicillin, and it's going to really hurt, but it's going to make you feel better. How do you describe that to a 3-year-old? You can't. And I'm not saying that we're 3 years old, but what I am saying is that many times what God does in our life, we don't understand. And it's like trying to explain a shot to a toddler that if you take the shot, I know it's going to hurt, but actually it's going to make you feel better. You're going to get better. And God is saying, listen, when I come into your vineyard and I bring some pruning shears, I'm not coming to tear you down. I'm coming to build you up. I'm coming to get that branch that is not producing out of the mud, because I love you that much that I don't want you to live a life that is barren. I want you to live a life that is fruitful. Does that make sense? Remember, when God tends to a dirty branch, he only has one thing in mind. He's got abundance in mind, not misery. He's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to help you. And here's what I found out. As soon as that branch has been cleaned up and it's now producing, God leaves it alone. Because there's a season that he comes in to show you. And as soon as it's cleaned up, he says, that's good. I've done my work. Now, if you want an empty basket, allow your branch to stay in the mud. But if you want a life of abundance, then consider letting God lift every branch out of the mud that you're in. You say, Pastor, how do I do that? I want to do that. I want my life to count. I want my life to produce abundance. How do I do it? Here's the first step, repentance. And I know that repentance has become a bad word, but it shouldn't be, because repentance is about allowing God to come in so that your life can be productive. Because the enemy wants you to live in sin so that when you get to the end of your life, all you can present is a basket of regrets. I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have listened. I wish I would have obeyed God's word. Yeah, you may be saved. I believe there's going to be a lot of people saved. I do. Because the scripture says there's a number that no man can number. They're going to be saved out of every tribe, every kindred, every tongue. They're going to be saved. Millions, perhaps billions. But here's what I also believe. I also believe that many Christians are going to come with very little fruit in their life. Oh, yeah, they may have, you know, they may have a couple of things, you know. And, hey, you know, you can look at it and you can say, hey, well, at least I made heaven. Praise God. Okay, if that's how you look. But I don't want to just make heaven by 18 inches. I don't want to get to heaven and say, God, I'm glad I made it, but that's all I have. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and not have it sparingly, but abundantly. But see, if your dream is to be great so your name is in lights and so people know you and you're famous and all this, then God says that's too little of a dream. My dream is much bigger than that, and it takes a lot longer than 2 weeks. Does that make sense? So now here's what I practice and here's what I strive to do. I strive to live in a state of repentance. I even come to God and say, God, forgive me for my secret sins, things I don't even know that I did. Maybe I didn't say something as I should have said it. Maybe I didn't, you know, maybe I hurt somebody's feelings and didn't even know I hurt their feelings. But Father, I'm giving you permission to come into my life. Lift up every branch that's not producing like it could. God, Lord, the green leaves that just look good, you know, just look good, but God's not producing. I give you permission to go into my heart, go into every room of my life, because when I get to heaven, I want to bring God a harvest. And I don't want to just live the life, Lord, just surviving here upon the earth. But I want to thrive in Christ. I want to bear fruit that is eternal. I want my life to make a difference. And I believe you do too. Can you stand this morning? And would you give God some praise right now? I'm going to wrap this up. But I want to show you one more scripture. I want to show you a scripture in Psalm 66. I believe it is in the NIV or maybe the NLT, but here's what it says. For you, O God, you tested us. You refined us like silver. Probably most of you have heard this, but somebody asked the silversmith, how do you know when the silver is pure? Because it's in a pot and it's boiling and it's hot. And here's what he said. He keeps removing the impurities off of it. The fire keeps removing the impurities. And here was his answer. He said, I know the silver is pure when I can see my reflection in it. That's how I know. See, you say, Pastor, you're telling me that God's been in your garden and he's been pruning you? What? What's he been pruning you? I think he's pruning some priorities. Yeah, I do. I think he's showing me some things that if I live at that level, this is what I'm going to get. Now, is that bad? I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying I believe we can have more. See, when we talk about abundance, most Christians think about Cadillacs and cash and unlimited credit cards and cruises and condos on the beach. That's not what God is talking about. That's what the disciples were thinking. Yeah. Oh, yeah, man, we're going to have this. I'm going to have a position. One's going to be on the right and one's going to be on the left and King Jesus. And we're going to have this Roman overthrow. We're going to overthrow Roman rule. And God's like, nah. Let me show you what this is all about. This is all about relationship. Because without me, you can do nothing. Right. Yeah, you can tie your shoes and chew bubble gum, but you can't do anything without me of eternal value. Does that make sense? So God's goal is never to harm, it's to liberate. So I believe what God is wanting is He's wanting to prune parts of our life that drain precious time and energy, and so that we're focused on the main thing. What's the main thing? Seek first the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
I believe God is even still showing me some selfish habits in my life. Maybe He's showing you some negative relationships. I've taught our kids, you know what? Be careful who you run with, because birds of a feather flock together. And I don't believe some people's problem is drugs and alcohol. I believe some people's problems are people. And I think one of the most loving things you can let God do is cut the ties from some people into your life that are constantly trying to push you down, when all God's wanting to do is pull you up. What about some unhealthy habits? Unhealthy habits. God's wanting to prune those from your life. See, lifting us up, and I'm hastening, lifting us up is all about getting the dirt off of us, getting us out of the mud. That's lifting us up. But pruning is different. Pruning is about self. Pruning is how God changes the picture of your life from a basket that's maybe empty to a basket that's starting to fill up. I want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you. This season that we're in right now, please don't let it go to waste. Please don't let it go to waste. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Invite God to come in and say, God, you know what? Whatever you see in me that doesn't really reflect you, prune it. I give you permission. Prune it. Because I truly want people to see Christ in me. I don't want people to see ego and pride. I want them to see humility and love. God, prune in me things that I would try to hang on to. But instead, I want to give something away every day. So I want to challenge you this morning. In the next couple of minutes, I want you to give God permission to say, come into my life, God. Because I know whatever you're doing, you're not doing it to hurt me. You're doing it to help me. Give God permission right now to work in your life, and it starts with repentance. Give God permission to prune wrong motives, pride, selfishness, greed, sin. Tell God, God, I want to get healthy. Throw your hands up right now and talk to Him right where you are. I know this word was for me, but I also believe it was for someone else. Tell Him right now, God, I don't want to waste this moment. I don't want to waste, oh God, these last 8 weeks. I don't want to waste this season in my life, God. I may not, Lord, totally understand what you're doing, but I trust you.
And all my life you have been faithful.
Come on, right where you're standing, tell God, God, I invite you, Lord. God. Come on, TPC, lift your hands and cry out to God right now. God, come into my heart. Lord, no room in my heart has got a reserve sign on it. Every room says welcome. Come in, oh God. Come on, right where you are in your home, why don't you talk to God right now? Right there by your couch or wherever you are. God, I want. Father, I pray for this great congregation, Lord. I know what you've been doing in my life, and I sense that you've been working in others. It's been uncomfortable. When we see things about ourselves, God, and you show us that are uncomfortable. Lord, sometimes we can think, God, are you against us? No, you're not. Not only, Lord, do you love us, but you like us. You like us so much that you'll keep coming back and saying there's more for you. You're not even reaching a third of your potential. I believe that there's many people in this room, God, they're not even reaching a third of their potential because they really don't understand what you are doing. Give us a revelation, God, that as the vine dresser, as the Father that tends to every vineyard and every garden, you care deeply about one thing, and you want our lives to bear forth much fruit so that you are glorified. Now, Lord, take this word and help us to apply it, Lord, to our hearts that we can see and walk and live in the abundance that you have for us. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody shout amen. If you receive the word of the Lord today, give God a big hand clap for